Blog Talk Radio.
All right, who do we have here? Cora has a question. I mean, you should see this makeshift studio I made here. It worked, though, I'll tell you that.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Best by the best. His name is Ahaya.
Hey, right, come on now.
So my quick question is, okay, you said that we have to be in the wilderness because we'll be out of our homes. I imagine it's because if we don't take the mark of the beast, we won't be able to pay property taxes. But then we're going to be on land, but I know you have to pay property taxes on land. Where are we going to find the spaces to be have our kids' cities?
You said, where will we find the place? What did she say?
Right. Where will we be setting up our tents? Because we're going to be kicked out of our dwellings because we can't pay property taxes if we don't take the mark of the beast. Well, we won't be able to pay property taxes on land either. So where are we going to find land to set up our tents?
That is a great question. See, that's why we have to plan in advance, right?
Oh, okay.
Because why? So think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, eventually, they're going to, even with the nonprofits and others, under church protection, they're going to move out the way eventually also. But initially, that'll take time. So under a nonprofit where you're not responsible for certain taxes, it gives you leeway or time.
Oh,
right?
Okay. All right.
So that's number one. So it's best that when it comes to the finances before they crash the dollar, it's best to do what? Move your money into something tangible that's sustainable for a time.
Okay.
Like property, like a few acres that might not mean nothing right now. Get yourself something like an RV or a trailer, something cheap, so if you're out of the house, you're not homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Have a plan in advance to be able to tow your house into your property and work from there, right? And see, these things we're doing in conjunction with brothers and sisters in the church to say, well, guess what? Even though you're doing this individually, you're still operating as a body because others may need temporal shelter. And then at that point, you get the guidance on what to do, where to bring your RV, and all of that as a part of the body.
Oh, okay. Right.
So don't forget, the Bible says, and Christ gave us some insight to this. He says, when you're persecuted in one city, flee into the next city. So one thing about some of these cities, some of these states, is that their laws vary, where certain things are allowed in one state that isn't in another. Hence the reason why a lot of people are moving out of California into Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to realize they're not going to be it's going to be persecution moving to the safe place until the wilderness. And that's how we're going to be operating all the way until we're there. Understanding what the laws are, understanding how we can withstand the mark of the beast and operate here for a while, and we're going to work our way all the way to the wilderness that same exact way.
Okay.
Got it?
I got it. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. But in the meantime, let me put her on hold real quick. In the meantime, I'm giving y'all some serious insight, right? Because what am I finding out right here that no one has been putting us up on game with, right? What am I finding out over here? Folks, what I'm finding out? A lot of these people who are not in houses and who have nice trailers and all that, they're not poor people. They're consolidating. I mean, let me tell you, they have double-decker trailers and all that, RVs, funking these things out. And these people, they'll get up in the morning and put on their suits and all that and stand in their office making six figures without what? Without the overhead of a high mortgage, as if they know something. And they have the options to actually have all these other things. But they're stacking and putting their money into what? Something tangible foreseeing something happening. And I'm seeing that. See, I watch what happens in the rural areas outside the cities. Right? And here it is. People talk about, oh, my God, I don't know what my money is. I'm broke. Imagine if you had an opportunity to buy you a two-bedroom RV for about $25,000 on some cheap property that probably costs about, what, $1,000 a year to pay taxes on. And you have electric and water to hook to your RV. Working at your job, how much money could you save? And it's in preparation. If something goes down, you know, in that area, boom, you can take your house, put it on a truck, and you go on somewhere else and still stacking and preparing. I'm checking out how a lot of these guys are moving in the rural areas, folks, and they're doing exactly what I'm talking about. And if they have the luxury sometime, if they would like to chill at a hotel or drive to their vacation place near the beach. And now with their RV, they're sitting there with a beach view. I'm telling you, folks, we must what? We must look at all of our options based on our circumstances and finances. And I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to be going into that in the academy, right? And speaking of the academy, this academy will be not like any past academies when it comes to spiritual application and understanding. You don't want to miss it. We're working on it now. You don't want to miss it, okay? And I'm going to be going into some of the topics when it comes to learning the Bible, application, how to link precepts, how to deal with the wisdom of the Bible. All of that will be in the next academy, historytimes.org. Historytimes.org. Let's go to the next call. Charles. Yes, Charles.
Shalom, brother. Shalom.
Shalom, sir. Shalom.
Yes. I'm Charles from the Virginia Body. I was the one that gifted you the higher prayer banner there at the mass baptism.
Thank you, my brother.
All praises. Yes. I'm here right now at the Virginia and plus the Petersburg, Virginia Body, the DMV Body, plus the Petersburg, Virginia Body at Tabernacles right now. And I have two subjects I would like to talk about. Just for starters, I have been having an overload of positivity being here at Tabernacles to a point that I'm starting to realize what's my thoughts and what's not my thoughts. And revealing what I'm up against, I guess the malignant root that's in all of us. But it's been a blessing because I can't see it within nobody else, because all I see is the God and everybody that's around me every time I turn a corner. So
okay, brother, I don't know where you're going with this, but I need you to quantify it so I can understand what you're saying, because I do have a lot of calls here. So I need you to give me the short, understandable version.
It's been a blessing of being around the saints, that being really positive, to understand what I'm up against, of being positive, the positivity that I see, and the things that's there to try to kind of counterattack what's our own environment we created being here at Tabernacles. That's all I'm saying. And
brother, I'm trying to grasp what you're saying. You're going to have to give me some examples because I'm lost.
For example, like I'm walking down the cement, and I'm seeing everybody being positive and everything. But at the end of the day, when I'm seeing things and witnessing things, we still got that thing that we deal with in ourselves personally that we have to overcome. And it's
what
being
is that?
Revealed.
When you said we, let's talk about you.
Yes,
that's not
myself.
We. What's going on with you?
Yes. What I'm starting to understand is that I'm experiencing everything positive, and let alone to myself, I accept everything positive. But I understand that there, like like Paul said, when there's when I'm doing something good, evil's there also. So I'm understanding the difference between what is out there that's not me, that's the wickedness, and what is me that's accepting all this positivity.
So, okay, I'm gonna help you out, brother. How long have you been in this?
I've been in this for 3 years.
3 years. What I'm going to ask you to do, it'll help you out. Let's not overthink what this walk is. And I'm going to tell you why. If you don't learn how to just take full advantage of a day or a moment without analyzing it, you're going to lose. Just take in the positivity of what this experience is and just let that be.
Yeah.
Because the pressure of what you're going through in your spirit on an everyday basis, even in the midst of you experiencing something positive and now you're still looking at it negative, that's gonna be a mental stress on you. Just accept what it is. Today is a good day. The family is together. Christ has given you the truth, the knowledge of yourself. Don't even think about the old man. Just take in what a great day this is, what a great time it is. And don't overthink it.
Exactly.
Okay?
That's exactly what I'm displaying myself. You know,
okay.
That's exactly what I am experiencing. It's not nothing like, I understand that that's there. But me being myself, that's just, I'm accepting all the positivity. You know, that's what I'm trying to explain. But
well, thank you, brother. I got to go to the next call because I got many calls, and I'm coming up against the end of it, all right?
Keep positive. Okay?
No. Brother, you have to let me go to the next call because it's unfair to others if you're going through this and I'm not giving people their proper time. Okay?
All right.
If you want to speak to me privately on something, you can call.
Well,
but you cannot have a private phone call on a public broadcast. Okay?
I was just trying to explain that. It's not that I'm going through something. It's that I'm starting to understand who I am truly versus what I'm up against in the spiritual realm. I think that's everybody. We should cast down on wicked imagination.
Brother, but before that, did you understand that your time is going into someone else's time who may feel a certain type of way? Are you considering what they're going through?
Yeah, I understand. The sightings is another thing. I appreciate you. That's really what I want to talk about. But thank you, though. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. 267 area code. Zalak has a comment. Zalak, shalom. Shalom. Zalak? Oh, Zadok. Zadok. I'm sorry, Zadok. The table is too small, so I don't have it. I have to look over here. Zadok. Okay, Zadok isn't there. Belinda has a question.
Yes, shalom.
Shalom, Belinda. Question?
Yes, when will there be another baptism? I tried to make the September 8th baptism, but I don't drive, and my finances wouldn't allow me to get there, and I also fell ill because I have lupus.
Well, there's a few things we have to work with there because, you know, there is something that comes, you know, as far as a healing process for the lupus and how to actually deal with that. That's one conversation. The other thing is let me ask you, your city and state, where are you located?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, you're in Philadelphia. I can give Bishop Amath your phone number, and he can set up a baptism for you since you've missed that baptism, okay?
Yes. I've visited the church once, but because it was so far away from where I am, I was unable to go. I'm on a fixed income.
Okay.
After that one visit, I wasn't able to come back.
What part of Philadelphia are you? What part of Philadelphia?
I'm in Southwest Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, we do have people who are coming to the church from Southwest Philadelphia who can actually assist in picking you up and helping you get to the church if necessary. So let me get Bishop Lamont to call you. He'll set that up. We'll deal with this lupus thing because there's a lot that goes with that. I mean,
well,
we've been
also dealing with other elements, a pseudo tumor in my head.
Well, diabetes. You don't gotta put it all out there right now. We're gonna give you a call and we're gonna talk about healing because usually one thing leads to the next. All right. So when I say one thing leads to the next, sometimes one illness and based on what you're taking for that or whatever may lead to something else and then something else. And then it's just snowballs. So what I'm saying is there's usually a root thing and there's something that I found out when it comes to it's deep because I went into a study from a university who made it clear that before the programs they had to give us all this stuff that they claim to prevent diseases and all this stuff, that they knew in actuality that the majority of things that we're dealing with as a people now would be determined as demon possession. So they came in under the guise of health, only to have our community riddled with demons for accepting their programs in order for our children to go to school and others. Everything that our people are dealing with, sicknesses and all that, is intentional. And there's a way to overcome it. All right? Even when it comes to psychological and mental health, they know that the diagnosis that they have now scientifically was once deemed in ancient times demon possession. But demon possession and sicknesses have become normalized through their program. So don't worry about it, sister. Stick in with us. I'm going to have Bishop Moth call you, and we're going to help you through the process of healing, okay?
Salada.
All right. Oyendabar. All right. Thank you. I'm going to place you on hold. And I can only take a few more, being that we're up against the time. Nicole has a comment and or question.
Shalom, Elder. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am. I tell you, I've had a plethora of emotions over the last week. I am just coming in from a Hawaii vacation with my husband, and while we were gone, my son got ordained in the in our home church, so I'm kind of trying to hold it together for that because I really
Sister, listen. That's something to celebrate.
Really?
Sister, let me tell you, with the mentality and the state of our people right now in the inner cities and so many young men are being lost to prison and death or even worse, listen, Christ have your son exactly where he is, and he have you exactly where you are for that time when your son transitions.
Oh, wow. Son, I needed that.
Sister, your son is just going to school. That's all. As long as he's in that Bible, don't press him.
Okay.
Christ is still dealing with him. He's speaking with him. Christ, through your prayer, is helping him. And guess what? Sometimes pride won't allow someone to admit when they're actually receiving something.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
Let me tell you, as long as you're there and still in what your mama's love and the parental love, and celebrating your son's decisions when it comes to choosing Christ, it doesn't matter that he's been ordained in a church. Celebrate that.
Okay.
compared to so many young men out there losing their lives out there, and he chose Christ. He may not be in your denomination or your understanding at this time, but how you deal with him at a time when you should be in his corner will actually come into view, or vice versa in the future. So the whole thing is how you respect him in a time where he's celebrated is how he's going to respect you as far as being his mother, who should be there in a time that you should be celebrating your son. Celebrate your son.
I knew that. You have no idea. Thank you for that. And that, which leads me to my comment really quick, and that is, I just want to know, want you to know how when we were in our Honolulu hotel, we were listening on last Wednesday, and my husband and I were just, it was like a confirmation of our needing you as our leader, because the way you handled that, those phone calls, that particular woman, the first one that you handled, if you recall, who needed that apology from you, the way you, the whole broadcast was a blessing, watching the video and listening to the elders at that particular broadcast, but the way you handled her with such pastoral gloves, it was just remarkable. We just knew with our knower that you were, you know, you're just the leader that we know the Most High is wanting us to be under. And I just want to thank you for the way you did not take an opportunity to flex your muscles to show that, hey, that, you know, she was wrong, or whether you thought she was wrong or not. I just love the way you handled her and the subsequent calls. It's almost like the Most High had all of those lined up to kind of prove you demonstrating your pastoral care toward people that aren't even under you and that may challenge you in a moment when it was kind of like Jesus after his baptism. He went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil, but you did not succumb. And I just want to thank you for just having the Spirit of Christ. That really separates you and let us know that when y'all establish your church here in Memphis, we're going to be the first one at the doorstep. I'm just letting you know. But my question is quickly, if Christ is our King, and I believe, listen, based on all of the videos that I've watched, you're saying that we're not supposed to worship him. I noticed that I never hear anybody say hallelujah. Is the word hallelujah something that is not supposed to be, I noticed that.
Okay. I know your question. We're going to have the Hebrew man, elder lawyer, who's actually updating all the Hebrew lessons to give you some understanding from the Hebrew perspective of the word hallelujah. Lawyer, you got it.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, elder lawyer, we love you on the academy. It's the academy. We're in our third academy now. We love you.
Shalom, and thank you. Just to give a quick breakdown, we'll probably touch on it a little bit in the academy. If you just to simply break down the word, it breaks down to the word halal, which means to praise. That word, you'll see that all throughout the Hebrew and the scriptures, is a word that translates to praise. And Yah, which means God. That's all it means. If you just to break down the word, the etymology of the word.
Okay, so in the ancient Hebrew, how would that be spoken?
It would be, I believe it's halawal Yah, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll touch on it in the academy, to give a further breakdown on that particular word.
Okay.
So, is there any harm in saying hallelujah? Because I know that you all y'all teach that Yah is not God's name. So is it wrong to say hallelujah?
Well, when you go in the book of Revelation, it has an iteration, a more Greek, Greco-English representation of that word, hallelujah, the book of Revelation. Based on that, there's nothing wrong with actually saying that word. Okay. People have come up with various variations on how to say praise God, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. It's praise the Most High. Even if you said praise the highest, it would be one and the same.
Exactly.
Okay?
Gotcha. All right. That was my question. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. All right.
Shalom.
Shalom. Kayam and Lass Anton has a question. That better not be my brother calling me messing around with it. This time
Shalom,
of night,
bro.
I know he probably done had some tape, you know, had a few strong ones, strong glasses of things, right? One day I went to the house. I'm like, boy, what is this? It was a can this tall, a silver bullet. And I'm like, what? Multiplicer, silver bullet. I'm like, let me tell you, you're gonna lose a kidney or and he's talking about, yeah, man, give me my beer. I'm like, that ain't beer. That's not beer, my brother. I'm like, anything that... Listen, I've been in a lot of places, and I know what hell is.
Mm.
This is hell. This is not hell. It's hell. You will not see in the upper echelon pubs silver bullets. Lord, in the morning. I hope that ain't my brother Anton calling me on the line. But we're going to see. Yes, I'm here. I'm adding just a little likeness to this evening. When I seen my Anton name spelled exactly like my brother, but I'll tell you, I got a whole nother stream that I got to do on him. Talk about that brother. But anyway, talk to me, brother. Talk to me.
Shalom, Elder Shalom, Elder Lawyer, Elder Bakar.
Shalom, how are you?
Pretty good. Hey, Elder, I got to say this. All praises, Ohio!
There it is, man. Go ahead.
Elder, like you said, like even with the United States, you said that basically that we're going to be pilgrims. And it makes sense because the mirage of the United States is not united, never been united. So it's divided, and they have different laws and rules. So when you said that, that was groundbreaking. It gave me understanding that the reason why the Bible said we're going to be like pilgrims and flee from the next to the next. And Elder, I wanted to say, like, to all the men in the church, we need to be in that academy. Every man, we need to get in that academy. Like every man,
yeah.
Every household need to gather together. Even if we got to put our dollar together to make sure our brother are in the academy, we all need to be in the academy. Elder, I got one scripture. This is Matthew 24:31. And he
yes,
shall
sir.
Send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven into the other. And elders, thanks to the Most High, you're gathering us through the Spirit, and we thank you so much, and keep doing what you're doing, Elder, and all praise to the Most High.
Thank you, my brother, and thanks for the scripture. Mighty man, yes, I appreciate you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Brother, always bringing those scriptures. I really appreciate you, my brother. Okay, who's Anton?
Shalom.
How you doing, Anton? Shalom.
All right. Hey, it's Anton from North Carolina.
Okay, they ain't more of that. Let's talk.
Yeah, I was calling to ask, do you ever break down the two witnesses in Revelation?
Yes, we have broken down 11. The two witnesses. Isaiah 43. Let's go to Isaiah 43 and 1 real quick. Here are the two witnesses. Because I know according to false Christian ideology, the Jesuits had everyone believe that during the time of the tribulation that Moses and Elijah would prophesy in Jerusalem for 3 days and get killed. That's some hot mess. All right? That's not going to happen. All right? Here's the two witnesses. Let's read it.
Yes, sir. Isaiah 43 and 1.
Read it.
For now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel.
Jacob and Israel, which breaks down to the split between Judah and Israel. Those are the two what? Those are the two tribes that were split. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi are on one side, and Israel over the rest of the 10 tribes. Go down to the 10th verse.
Verse number 10.
Read.
Ye are my witnesses.
Ye are my what?
Ye are my witnesses.
Ye are my witnesses. So in a nutshell, through this awakening, those dry bones laid in the street 3 days and a half, like it's written up in the book of Revelations, where the two witnesses, right, who were in the ground, right, it's speaking of the awakening of the 12 tribes now as witnesses on the earth before the coming of our Lord and Savior. We are the witnesses. Judah and Israel who have come to the knowledge of the truth and have become the witnesses for the world in preparation for Christ's coming. We are the two witnesses. Judah and Israel, the 12 tribes who have awakened.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, you think during this academy coming up, will you be able to go into the Apocalypse of Paul at some point?
100%. We are going into a brand new lesson, the underworld, where we're going to be dealing with all of the extra-biblical texts along with the Bible concerning what is hell. We're going to go into the true Testament of Solomon to show you how spirits work. And that's right. I'm talking about on the left side and how if we have knowledge of how they work, they have no power over us. On top of that, we're going into the Apocalypse of Paul and the Discourse of Hell, and that will be week 11 of the Hebrew and Bible Academy. Guaranteed.
Okay. I look forward to it.
You would never guess who's calling me right now.
Wow.
Who that?
Antoine.
Look who's calling me right now, folks. Anton. Is that Anton on the line right now? I spoke it up. I'm telling you. Hey. Thank you. Thank you, my brother.
All right. Go on.
Wow. All right. Shalom. My phone started buzzing. Bum. And who out of nowhere, I'm going to tell you, the spirit is connected. We're connected. I'm going to tell you, Catherine.
Shalom, elders. How are you?
Put down the silver bullet. Shalom, how are you?
Shalom, I'm good, elders. I just want to give all praise to the Most High and thank him for you and the other elders, for the church, for the gathering. I just wanted to comment about the tabernacles and just say that it's such a blessing that I have 5 grandchildren who are now born in the truth, my husband, myself, my 4 daughters, and 2 of my son-in-laws have been baptized in the truth. We're from California. One of my daughters and her husband are now part of the Dallas, Texas body. And I just wanted to thank you, Elder Lawyer, and everyone else for all that they're doing. Also, I wanted to say that my family and I, we've been camping out in San Diego at Camp Land, preparing. My grandchildren have been enjoying and loving it. And I just know that some of the things we're doing, the Most High has just been preparing us. And I'm just so grateful for this church and to be in the truth. And we've been in the truth now since 2014. And it was an uphill battle at first, but thank God for my husband who found you all. It's such a blessing. And outside of that, that was my comment. But Elder, there's so many things that I need to ask you about and question, and some of them are off topic tonight. So I just wanted to say that if you could call me, because, I mean, where the Most High has been taking me and my family. One of the comments I wanted to make is I've been taking care of my 97-year-old great aunt who just passed away, and we buried her last week. But the library in her house is unbelievable, and some of the books are in Hebrew. I can't even tell you what they are. I have so many things in the library that I think might be good for you and Elder Lawyer, and I think that they're timeless and priceless information. So that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about. Also, I'm very interested in what you're going to be doing as far as the music department, the theater arts. I have a degree in theater arts, but I also used to be the head of A&R for Death Row Records and Suge Knight's personal assistant. And I just thank the Lord for removing me from so many things in my life. And I know that I have a lot to offer, as well as my husband, who's a black belt in Krav Maga, Israeli in Jiu-Jitsu. And I know that it's time for us, that I'm no longer taking care of my aunt, that God is opening a lot of doors. But if you could please call me when you get a chance, I have some questions and some comments and some things that I might think might be beneficial to the church.
Okay, where are you? What city?
Okay. I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay, well, are you out there camping in L.A. with the California body right now?
I am, but due to my aunt, you know, with dementia and taking care of us, we were going to the services. We haven't as much in the past year due to her declining, but now she's gone. Yeah. So we will be going back. But, again, my daughter is at the Dallas body with her husband.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And, yes,
well,
we've been baptized
for
several years.
I'll give you all a call tomorrow, okay? I'll give you a call tomorrow because I'm going to tell you, something deep is about to go down in that California area too, and that body in California needs to tighten up, right? So, it's, you know, you have my serious condolences for your lost loved one, seriously.
Thank you,
but all in all, yeah, you do. But all in all, it's time afterwards. The Most High freed up some space for you to link back in. It's time to link back in, okay?
And, yes, and we're even considering following my daughter and her husband to the Dallas body.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a beautiful congregation. And believe it, Texas is going to be one of the last places standing in the United States. So it wouldn't be a bad choice, I'll tell you that. All right?
Yes, I agree. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'll give you a call. I'll give you and your husband a call tomorrow, all right?
Thank you. Shalom. We love you both.
Shalom. The same here. Last call for this evening. Sister Shirley has a question. This guy won't let up. What?
Hi.
It's Tabernacle,
hello?
Young man. Lord.
Hello?
Let me let him know. Call him later. My brother. I love him, though. Hold on. Yes. How are you?
Shalom, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Pretty good. I have a question. So I'm the only Spanish person that goes to the church I go to. I've been going there for about a month. They're all white.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to be baptized because I'm not trying to be judgmental. It's all I have over here in this town. But the pastor told me I don't have to be baptized, that I'm already baptized if I accept Christ by the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, well, no, that's not right. So how can I get baptized? But I have a second part. If a woman is not allowed to speak in the church, how can I open their eyes to the truth? These people are like eating pork at fellowship. And, you know, I've been following. I went to the church, the GOCC church back in 2008 in Harlem. Also went in the Bronx, but I live in Hazleton, Pennsylvania now, and I can't find anybody that believes in Christ the way I do.
Okay, well, let's break it down in parts, because you gave us a lot in one spill, right?
I know.
So first and foremost, okay, let's deal with the church you're going to that you're not supposed to speak, that's eating swine.
Right.
Let's start there. Right?
Okay.
So obviously the church you're in isn't the truth where you're frequenting, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's not much, even if you was a male who disagreed with pork, you wouldn't be able to speak about that in there. It has nothing to do with you being a woman. Right?
Right. Right.
So you need to find a place, you know, where Christ is and the truth is and the law is upheld. You need to leave that church.
Right.
So
I don't know where to go.
Okay. No.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have to listen. I'm giving you your answer. Now, if there's other qualities or benefits in that church that you're benefiting from a social aspect, then you're going to have to ignore some of these things that you're concerned about, because they're not going to change because you know the truth. The choice. You're going to have to look at that swine and say, you know what? I don't deal with swine. Where's the clean food? But if there's something you're benefiting from in that institution, then, yeah, you're going to have to benefit from what Christ has blessed you with since you're there and believe Christ sent you there, and ignore the things that cannot change. They're not going to change the Sabbath to Sunday, and they're not going to change pork into lamb. And it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you being a woman who can't. Okay?
Right. Okay, so how can I get baptized? Because they gave me a bunch of scriptures on why I don't need to be baptized, and I don't believe that.
Well, sister, if you get baptized under us, we're not baptizing you for you to go back there. Okay?
Okay. I mean, I'm not committed to being there. Like I said, I believe in everything you guys are teaching. It's just where I'm at. The Most High has completely isolated me. I know I'm chosen. I have a big testimony, but I know I don't have time on the air for that. I've even left this room.
What I'm going to do for you, I'm going to have Bishop Shamar from New York contact you. We will set up a baptism for you. At least get that out of the way. And work with your transition out of that place if that's what you would like from there.
Absolutely.
How does that sound? Okay.
That
Hold
sounds
on.
Fantastic. Let me,
there you go. That's the answer. Hold on. They're over there saying, "Listen, don't get in the way of me and my swine sandwich." They give you scriptures on the field. Let no man judge you in respect of this, and judge your meat. All things are good through Thanksgiving. They're gonna throw everything up on you.
Oh yeah. A
full bowl of chitlins and vinegar and hot sauce on either side of it, waiting to ravish that thing. Hold on.
I'm telling you, they're probably waiting for Christmas to come around just to celebrate it.
Yeah. You seen that movie Get Out, right?
I feel like I'm in the Church of Esau completely, you know?
I'll tell you what, you still probably got Netflix. Pull up Get Out real quick. That's you. You know that the dark guy running around?
And,
that's you right now.
You know what? You're wrong.
That's you right
My
now.
My eyes opened the same way.
You're gonna look up, boy, I tell you. I'm going to tell you, better watch out.
Boy,
I
eat some of the meat from the preachings, but I leave the bone behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Get out. Let me see this. Hold on 1 second. I'm giving your phone number to Bishop Shamar, okay?
Okay.
All right. And you know, and no sooner this stuff start breaking down, these witches and warlocks are going to show their true garments all up in these rural areas that people think you can chill in and believe it's okay. So I hope you're ready.
Listen,
Have you ever seen The Wicker Man?
No.
Yeah, look up Wicker Man. And you would be Nicolas Cage on that, okay?
All right, look for it. But I tell you, right now, I was in a very abusive relationship for 21 years with my husband.
You don't want to put your business out on the street. This ain't the place you do it at. When the bishop calls you confess your issues privately. We have to stop thinking that this internet, that we can just put our business out there. Don't dishonor yourself like that, sister. You have more value for yourself than to put yourself out there like that. Everyone have went through something, okay?
Thank you.
Honor yourself through your privacy, all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, happy tabernacle, sister. Bishop Shamar will reach you, and we're going to help get you out of there. literally. And with that,
I appreciate it.
There you go. With that, we're going to say may the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up.